Okay, picking up in the middle of the four. So they're moralistic, possessive, and temperamental. The core belief of the four is that I am missing something important. So the four is looking for something outside themselves to complete themselves because something's not quite there. They know they're special, but it's not getting communicated, so something must be missing about me and I need to get it. And that's where the envy comes in. Not only am I missing it, but you got it. And so I want what you got. You know, life is better for you than it is for me. Whatever you got, I want. Their coping strategy is to withhold love. The two showers love in order to get love. The four withholds it. The four says, unless you treat me special, I am not going to give to you. I am not going to love you. I am going to withdraw from you and play that game of when you love me right, then I'll love you back. So they play that game with people. Their core fear is that they're inadequate or emotionally cut off, that they're just plain and ordinary. And no four wants to be plain and ordinary. They want to be the, you know, the one that walks into the room and everybody says, ooh, you know. They're afraid of being commonplace or abandoned, afraid of being defective or flawed. And their core desire, of course, at their heart, they just want to be their authentic selves. They want to be unique, and they want it to have significance for who they are. But if they're not functioning at a high level, they can never see that they're okay the way they are. There's always that missing something. Just get that, and I'll be where I'm supposed to be. Their divine gift, obviously, is that creativity, that depth of seeing beauty and seeing loveliness everywhere. They can relish in God's beautiful creation, and they can bring that beautiful creation alive to other people in so many different ways. But their root sin, as we said, is envy. And they avoid at all costs any kind of ordinariness or blending in. So a four will often be someone who dresses in a little bit different style than the norm. You know, you may see fours who just are always a little bit flamboyant or have the, you know, just a different style than normal. So you notice them. Not only that, because they're creative. And so they don't want to look ordinary, so they're going to create beautiful impressions. And they don't want to blend in. Their inner critic is saying, I'm good if I'm true to myself, but I'm never true to myself, right? You're never good enough because you're never true to yourself. And how do they grow? They grow by learning contentment with who they are and gratitude for who they are. That sense of, I'm okay. You know, this is all that. Remember that transactional analysis from years ago? I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're not okay. I'm not okay, you're not okay. Yeah. This is kind of an I'm not okay, but you are okay kind of a thing. You know, I'm not good, but you are. If I only had what you have, I'd be good too. So the world of the four misses the spontaneous expression of their thoughts and feelings because they're afraid it won't be special. They fear they won't get close to one other people because they fear that they'll be rejected by others because they won't see that specialness, and that would be devastating. So don't give it. Don't put your specialness out there because people will reject it or not see it, and that's abandonment. They miss really having what they want instead of yearning for it. So the four is always kind of in that yearning, melancholy, if only, posture. Their passion, as we've said, is envy. Their defense mechanism is introjection. They carry their feelings within themselves. Instead of projecting it out, they take it all in, and it's all bad on them. The wounded child message, which was, it's not okay to be me, I've been abandoned. I'm not a good kid when I show my creative side. It's not important to be creative. It's not important to be different. I have to be like everybody else. And if I'm not like everybody else, then, you know. Do you remember in maybe in preschool for yourself or for a child that you know, they were given something to make and there was a model of how to make it, you know. And so they were supposed to cut their flower out to make it look like the flower the teacher posted on the board. A four's flower would never want to look like that, right? They would want to take those supplies and create a very different looking flower. But what would the teacher say? You didn't follow the directions. Your flower is no good. Your flower is supposed to look like that. Okay, so the four is always the one whose flower doesn't look like everybody else's flower at 4 years old, you know. Four is the one that when they're learning dance steps, they create new ones. And they're supposed to do what everybody else is doing up there, right? And they're doing their own little thing off to the side. Go to a dance recital with little kids. There's always going to be a couple of fours in that room, right, who are just not doing the dance. They're doing this dance that's in their head. They're not doing the dance that they spent the last 12 weeks learning. They might be fours. They might be fours. The message that they need to hear, of course, is the same we all need to hear. You're loved and seen for who you are, in all of your beauty, in all of your creativity, in all of your differences, in all the ways that you're special. They come out of the withdrawn stance, and they are reactive, expressive. They need attention because they're in the heart center, and their repressed center is doing. They're less likely to be active in doing things because they're, again, they're withdrawn, they're internal, they're afraid to express themselves. It won't be good enough. And God's invitation to you, if you are a four, I invite you to be free from the drive to be unique and the false belief that you will not be loved and noticed if you don't stand out. You are already extraordinary and special because I created you in love and for love. So to be able to give up that need, that obsession about being unique and creating a flashy image. Okay, so you might be a four if you wrestle with who you are. If you are deeply moved by beauty, art, music, and nature, if you tend to have strong fluctuating emotions, if you find you're happy one day and just melancholy and sad and you can't get it up the next, it might be a four that you're dealing with. You look for the perfect relationship. You want to be rescued and swept away. And of course, most relationships will fall short of that, if not right away, sometime, right? And so that makes relationships kind of tricky for a four, an unhealthy four. Do you remember the Calgon ad? You know, that to me is the four. Take me away, Calgon. Yeah. Fours would love that commercial and want to do that too. Let me buy some Calgon. You struggle with finding your place in the world. You brood over negative feelings. Fours are brooders. You feel alone and lonely, even in a group. Nobody notices you. You're not standing out. You don't want to be part of the group. You feel envious of others' good experiences because they're always better than yours. So if you come home from a vacation and tell about yours, somebody, you know, the kid, what did you do this summer? The four tells what they did this summer, and then some of the other kids tell, those other summers were always better. You know, when they got to school, they thought they had a great summer. By the time that sharing is over, their summer was the worst in the world because everybody else's summer experience was better than theirs. You say or think, if only, a lot. If only I were this or that, then I'd be happy. If only I had this or that, then I'd be happy. If only he or she loved me, then I'd be happy instead of the one I got, which is part of the problem for a four. Fours would never dream of doing a paint-by-numbers painting. Fours would never think about only positive things. There's always negative to think about. And why waste time thinking about positive things? If you're a four, you're going to dwell on the negative. Would never give up soul searching. Would never use only basic colors. Would never dream of seeing the glass as half full. For a four, it's always half empty. Fours would never dream of settling for the mundane or the ordinary. Okay, they're going to go for the most creative, the most outlandish. They're going to have whatever color hair is in, whether it's purple or green or pink, they're going to have at least a few strands of that color if they can, because they don't want to look ordinary. So fours are highly individual, and they value originality. They have the ability to make the ordinary extraordinary. They can make something out of nothing. They're so creative in that way, many of them. They have a sense of the drama queen, some of them, and the tragedy of life. They believe they must be unique, original, different, or else they are nobody. It's an all or nothing thing. Either I'm unique and original, or I might as well cease to exist. Fours may live in their romantic fantasies rather than in the real world. So what they can imagine life to be is where they live. And then every once in a while, reality hits. It's not like that imagination, and that's when they really crash. So limiting subconscious beliefs for a four, I'm missing something vitally important that would make me whole and complete. I just need to find it. It's out there. I'm just going to go get it. So they're never quite satisfied, right? They're always looking. I'm different than other people. They're even envious of their differences. They have to be the most different. You know, if they're the worst, they have to be the worst, not one of the worst. There's just that sense of needing to be different. Others are happier, more fulfilling lives than I do. To be loved, I have to be unique. I have to be special. I have to be distinctive. Others fit in better than I do. I never quite fit in this group. Nobody really likes me. They just put up with me. Nobody really understands me. How could they? I'm so unique, right? All right. So levels of development for a four. High, when you're on your high levels, your fours are inspired, creator, self-aware and intuitive, self-revealing. They're out there and they're great. Average level, imaginative artist. They're a self-absorbed introvert or a self-indulgent aesthetic or aesthete. Yeah. Get down in that unhealthy area and they can become alienated, emotionally tormented, and self-destructive on the lower levels. Of course, all the levels when they're low are self-destructive. So healthy fours, and that you have all of this. I gave you these slides too this time. Healthy fours are highly intuitive, introspective, and self-aware. They're compassionate and tender-hearted. They treat others with kindness and diplomacy, gentleness and discretion. They're in touch with the hidden depths of human nature. And while sensitive, have great emotional strength and resilience. Healthy fours are in tune with their feelings and the peaks and valleys of their inner world. They don't get overwhelmed by those peaks and valleys. They just know they're there and they ride with them. And they can actually make something good or beautiful out of them. Healthy fours are emotionally honest and speak authentically from their heart. Healthy fours are individualistic and they don't cave into peer pressure, you know, because they want to stand out anyway. So healthy fours don't have to go along with the crowd. That's a good thing. They strive to be true to themselves always. They find humor in their quirks, their foibles, their little idiosyncrasies, as well as those of other people. So they're not obsessed by them. They just can kind of say, yeah, I do that. Yep, isn't that funny? Fours are creative and really appreciate beauty in all forms. They want to touch other people deeply, and they're aware of aesthetics and mood and how all those things can impact people's feelings. So they're the ones that are going to create. If they're setting up a party, celebration of some kind, it's going to be decorated in lovely ways. And they're going to have a knack for it because they want people to come in and just be captured by the mood. They're passionate people who trust their impulses and their inspirations and their hunches when they're healthy. Average fours see themselves as special, unique, and different from others. And that's important. They better be. They have to be. And so they avoid being seen as ordinary. They feel as though nobody really gets them. They really don't understand them. They like to be able to do things when they feel like it, when they're in the mood, and in the way they want to. But if a four is not in the mood, an average four is probably not going to do it. Fours tend to be pouty, and they get upset when they don't get their own way. So I don't know if any of you know a four, but if you have someone who's kind of pouty and wants their own way, they might be a four. I don't know. Maybe we all want our own way. Average fours experience strong moods and feelings, just like the healthy four, but they can't get a hold of it quite as well as a healthy four can. They can't use it for good. It gets away in the way of their day-to-day functioning. You know, when they're on the high, they're great. But when they're not feeling it, it can be tough to work with them on those days. A four could be one of those people that you're not sure which one's waking up this morning. You know, that could be a four because their moods swing that much. You know, so when they're in a great mood, they're great to be around. But not such a great mood, ooh, maybe I want to tiptoe, you know, carefully around that person. I used to tell people when I was doing a practical parent education class, that if they came home like annoyed or just angry from work, or work had just been a really tough day, and they wanted their kids and their husband or their wife to kind of just leave them alone for a few minutes so they could kind of regroup, they would keep a pair of red shoes in the garage. And when they pulled their car into the garage, they'd change and put on those red shoes. And if mommy walked in with red shoes, everybody knew to leave mommy alone for 15 minutes. I think a four needs those red shoes somewhere that they can put on and give everybody a clue that this is not the time to bother me because I'm not there right now. They take a romantic and idealistic orientation to life, and they long for a romantic partner. Someone who's just going to sweep them off their feet. Drama. They love the drama. They may obsess about someone to whom they are attracted. That can get real yucky in the unhealthy stages, but here there could be some obsession. They yearn to have a passionate, intimate, intense relationship. They want Romeo and Juliet. They want there to be drama in this relationship, okay? And it could be bad drama, but at least it's drama. So they may, if there isn't any, create some. They may go for it. Get you know, they know how to push your buttons. If you're married to a four or if you're in a relationship with a four, they know how to get you going so that there'll be some sparks happening because that's what makes them feel alive. They can become increasingly dissatisfied with reality and with themselves, so they need to change a lot. Maybe they change their hairstyle a lot, their clothes a lot, but they need to change a lot. Fours are painfully self-conscious and image-conscious, even at the average level. And they are at the mercy of their ever-shifting moods. They can become hypersensitive and reactive. They take everything personally and can be quite self-absorbed, dramatic, and moody. And these are average fours, okay? This is where most of us, you and me guys, this is where we function most of the time, all right? I know we'd all like to think we're up there in the healthy, and we are once in a while, but, you know, in the nitty-gritty of life, most of us are average most of the time. And so fours, when they're being average, can have that moodiness that can be hard to live with as them and hard to live with them if they're someone in your life. Destructive fours can be completely impractical, unproductive, and less able to cope with normal daily living because, of course, normal daily living is what? Boring. Normal. Ordinary. Can't be. They can become self-indulgent, self-pitying, melancholic dreamers. They feel as though nobody understands them. They feel so different from other people that they consider themselves exempt from having to follow the rules that other people live by. Because I'm special. So that rule doesn't apply to me, right? They can become critical and disdainful and contemptuous and condescending when others fail to live up to their expectations. They're highly temperamental, depressive, and feel completely estranged from other people. They feel as though they've been victimized by others and they're furious at everyone for disappointing them. They turn their hostility more against themselves than others because they become self-contemptuous, self-reproachful, and tormented. I think a lot, when you think about the great artists, the Van Goghs and all of them, you know, who were so tortured, you can see where the four could go into that destructive place. They feel blocked and inhibited and impotent and paralyzed to take any positive action on their own behalf when they're in that low level. They're tired, they're mentally disturbed, they're emotionally afflicted and spiritually broken. And it can turn into taking drugs and alcohol just to try to escape the pain because it's intense, very intense. So what would a parable for a four be? Jesus said, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. You don't have to be the flashy dresser. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Consider the lilies of the field. A good reminder for fours that their specialness and their uniqueness is a quality that lives with them all the time, not because they stand out in a crowd. Maybe Joseph and the dream coach, you know, maybe he was a four, you know. He certainly liked to walk around and say he was special. That's what got him down the hole and sent him off to Egypt, right? Because he kept telling his brothers, hey, you know, I'm the best. I'm special and you're not. And they said, let me show you how special you are. And down he went. And then, of course, he rose again, but So maybe Joseph. Jesus, of course, a healthy four, right? A healthy everything. His sensitivity and his deep feelings. The woman who anoints his feet, he feels with her. He can emote with her anguish. His anguish in the garden, very deep, emotional person. He's often called a man of sorrows, and yet he didn't pity himself. And he didn't envy others for their better life. So a good, healthy four. For fours to grow spiritually, they need to release that need to be unique and different and center on God's completeness and their wholeness in God. They're whole because they're created by God, not because of something outside themselves that they flaunt or show to the world. Fours can grow spiritually when they can come to appreciate their own gifts and the gifts of others and not be envious or think that others' gifts matter more than theirs, and that they can enjoy the sacredness of even the most mundane moment without needing to create drama in order to feel alive. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. So, I love the little ways you're identical to everyone else. Not a good news for a four. Or, everybody else's problems are better than mine. There's a four for you. He who is not contented with what he has will not be content with what he would like to have. And here are some possibly famous fours. We don't know. They didn't tell us they're four. We think they're four. And let me play you the four song, or a song that could be for the four, if all of this will work. You don't have to whisper. Anybody got a thought they want to share? Here it is. Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
We were having a family weekend at his house. Uh-huh. And everybody, we were all in the den like this, okay? And because we had a lot of people there, people were going to sleep in all the different bedrooms. So we're all sitting around talking, and we look up, and he walks in his pajamas with a pillow and a blanket and just plops down on the floor to sleep in the middle of our gathering.
Just create a little drama. Here I am. Here I am. Don't forget I'm here. Yes. Indeed. Indeed. Anybody else have a good four story? You can talk about yourself. You don't have to talk about someone else. Yes.
I think my daughters are four.
Okay.
Away at college right now.
Uh-huh.
A college with 10,000 students, but no one else is like her, and she doesn't fit in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And does she get melancholy about that? Feel sad for herself? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and is she very creative?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Anybody else?
Some say love, it is a river.
I think Bette Midler's a four.
That drowns the tender reed.
I'm going to take this one down and get the other one up while we're listening. I'm working on it. See, it's there now. And now I tell it to do the slideshow.
It's the dream.
Huh? Three ways, but it's five, I think. Yeah. I think. Okay, stop. I don't know what number is technologically challenged, but whatever that number is, it's me. There's no question about that. Even when I think I get it, and then I don't get it. See, it's there now. We may have to leave it at that screen. Are you okay with that? Okay, because at least I'm going to get it here, and it's not. Maybe it won't go away. Who knows? Okay, so we won't go through that too much. Remember that we're now moving to the five. So we're moving to a new center. These are the folks who think with it's all up here. It's all thinking. Their first automatic response to any new situation or stress is thinking about it. Okay? They're not going to feel it in their heart, and they're not going to get a gut reaction. They're going to go right to their head. I know you all know people who do that. And the reason they do that is to get security. The five, the six, and the seven. Very different ways of doing it, but security and the head for all of them. Okay, the five goes to the seven in stress, and the eight comes to the five when the five is healthy and in a good place. And of course, their wings are the four and the six. So if you think you might be a five or married to a five or have a five child or parent, or you might be a four or a six, or one of the other numbers that draws from it, five will be interesting to you. Five is the wise person, the observer, the thinker, the curious, the listener, the quiet one, the knowledgeable one. I don't need much, but I need my space. Okay, the five doesn't need much, but needs its space. The wise person on the resourceful side approaches life thoughtfully and objectively. They value truth. And they have a natural ability to both analyze the essence and synthesize the big picture. They want to understand the world and make it a more enlightened place. So the four wants it to be beautiful, the two wants it to be loving, the three wants it to be orderly and successful, and the five wants it to be enlightened. On the less resourceful side, fives may become overly intellectual and out of touch with their feelings. They may become overly withdrawn and self-sufficient in order to protect themselves from the perceived withholding or intrusion of others. We'll get into that more deeply as we move along. At their best, fives are analytical and sensitive and wise, objective, perceptive, curious, observant, and insightful. But at their worst, they're intellectually arrogant. They know more than anybody else. They're stingy about what they know. They won't share it. Distant, critical of others, unassertive, cynical, isolated, and relationally distant. The core belief of the five is there's no room for me. I'm on my own. And their coping strategy is to be self-sufficient, minimize all hassles, and stay small. The four is making the big picture, the big entrance. The five sneaking in and sitting in the back. Don't notice me. Okay. The core fear is the fear of being depleted. They're going to take from me. They're going to take what I know. They're going to take who I am, and so I have to hoard it, or being devoured. And the core desire is to perceive and to know. They want to be smart. They want to be knowledgeable. They want to have wisdom, which is a little different than knowledge, right? Wisdom, okay. Their divine gift is wisdom and truth. Shadow is avarice. They don't like to look foolish or uninformed. They don't want to not know. So they won't tell you what they know because you might ask them a question they can't answer, and then they wouldn't know. And so they hoard their knowledge in order not to look like they don't know. They never know quite enough. I'll read another book, and then I'll do it. I'll take another class. I'll get another degree, whatever, before I step out there and say, I can teach you this, or I can do this, or I can take this job. I'm good only if I can master something. And what will help them transform and grow is to learn generosity about themselves and what they know, and to live more in community and less off on their own. The world of the five, what they miss, is joy and fulfillment of giving and being involved in life because they're kind of isolating and living on an island. They miss the fun and excitement of being in the game. They're not going to be in the game because they might not know the game's rules enough, so they're not going to join the game. They're going to sit on the sideline and watch. They miss the experience of trust and cooperation instead of going it alone, and self-confidence. They miss self-confidence. Their passion, as I said, is avarice, and their defense mechanism is isolation. They isolate. Even in a crowd, they isolate. Their message as a child is it's not okay to be comfortable in the world. So they're just not comfortable there. And their heart longs to see the world say to them, your needs are not a problem. It's okay to have needs. It's okay to have weaknesses. You don't have to be the smartest one in the room. They have a withdrawn stance. They tend to act out of competence, and if they don't feel competent, that's not okay. They need security, as do all in the head center, and their repressed center, like the four, is doing. They don't do. God's invitation to a five is to invite you to be free from the fear of scarcity and not having all you need to survive. Trust me, you will not run out. I will give you all you need. So fives are mentally curious, even mentally intense. They have a great thirst for knowledge and they want to understand deeply. They can be independent and self-reliant and self-sufficient and very private. They generally need a lot of freedom and personal space to pursue their own interest. They hate to feel overwhelmed by others' emotions. So a five married to a four, that could be interesting, right? They don't want to be overwhelmed by others' emotions, and they may be extremely career-oriented to avoid relating emotionally. Okay, different than the three, who may be career-oriented because they just need success. This is the same behavior, perhaps, but the motivation for that behavior is different. They're trying to be focused on their work so as to avoid relationships and the emotions of those relationships. Okay, that's their need. So remember that with these numbers, two people from two very different places can do the same thing. And that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the motivation underneath it, which is what gives them their number, right? So the five may do the same thing the three does and become a workaholic. But the threes have a need for success, and the fives have a need to avoid emotional attachment with others. So work becomes their escape. Different motivations, same actions. Fives are individualistic and have little concern for societal pressures or material possessions. Fours were also less concerned with societal pressures, but for very different reasons. Fives feel most alive when they are getting new insights into some complex problem. Get really excited when they're learning something new. You might be a five if you are highly protective of your time. If you prepare a long time before you start something, if you're curious about the why of everything, if you like to observe rather than engage, if you prefer concepts and ideas to experiences, you'd just rather think about it than actually do it. You're more rational than relational. You tend towards asceticism and contemplation. You intellectualize to avoid emotions. You're a private person and you let very few people into your inner feelings. And you always are questioning your competence and you often feel inadequate. Fives would never dream of missing an opportunity to show what they know if they know it. They know they know it, they're going to tell you. Fives would never dream of throwing a big party or being a salesperson or spending time with others without a minute to themselves. Limiting subconscious beliefs for a type 5 are that people are invasive and want too much from me. I have to protect myself from that. They're going to take it all, then I won't have it. It's best to need little, so I'm not dependent. I'm on my own in the world. I'm separate. I'm outside. I can't kind of connect. Allow myself to fully feel my emotions would be unpredictable and scary, so emotions are locked up in a closet somewhere because it's just too scary to deal with them. Knowledge will keep me safe, so I just want to keep knowing, more and more and more. To be loved, I must demonstrate my knowledge. I not only need it for myself, but if someone's going to love me, they're going to love me because I know something, because I'm smart, because I bring something to the table. That's how I get to be important. Okay, healthy fives are extraordinarily observant, perceptive, insightful, open-minded. They're mentally curious. They love learning. They have multiple degrees, probably, or would like to. Always reading, always learning, always trying to find out more about what they know. They ask lots of questions if they're interested in a subject, and they pay a lot of attention to craftsmanship and detail. They have probing minds. They're innovative and inventive. They value their independence highly. They make great teachers, so long as they don't talk over their students' heads, right? And you may have had a professor along the way who just knew he knew all that he knew, and he was just going to tell you it, and it was just on and on, and you were like, what? You lost me at hello. But that's, you know, that's, some professors are often like that. And they often have a dry and whimsical sense of humor. Average fives, if you're a five, this is probably where you function most of the time, lose confidence in their ability to successfully engage with the world, and so they retreat into the safety of their minds. They won't engage because they'd just rather sit around and think about it, okay? They become less social and more detached. They can be intense and high-strung mentally. They focus on their projects, or they read, or they play on their computer for hours rather than engage with the world. They just as soon sit with their computer. And they may engage with people online, but that's safer than with flesh and blood, right? Focus exclusively, I said that, perpetual students because they love learning. But, and that's not a bad thing, but the problem is they never feel like they know enough, so they don't ever share it. They put all their energy into becoming competent and capable in one area of their life at the expense of all the other parts of their life. They're hoarders, not of stuff, but of time and energy, because it'll get depleted. There's only so much, and I have to hold on to it. They sometimes feel that their relationships are more trouble than they're worth because people are too needy. So they don't mind being alone. They don't mind even not being in relationships. They can be secretive and private. It can be very hard to get close to a five. It can be very hard to get a five to open up emotionally. If you are married or in a relationship with a five and you ask them how they're feeling about something, you will often not get much of a response because they don't have a clue how they're feeling, because feelings don't enter into it. What am I thinking? Okay, maybe. But not what I'm feeling. I have no idea. They can be drawn to abstruse and sometimes dark or disconcerting subject matter. They can get lost in alternative realities or imaginary worlds. So do the fours, huh? Maybe we all do. Fear of being overwhelmed by people and their needs. Destructive fives become more reclusive as their anxiety and insecurity increases. So they can cut themselves off entirely from the real world, either physically or in their heads. They become provocative and antagonistic to keep people away. They jump to conclusions and distort facts with their own twisted interpretations. They can be iconoclastic and enjoy making extreme remarks just to shock people and provoke a reaction out of them. Why? Because that keeps people at bay, doesn't it? It keeps people off their game and they don't get close, because, you know, who wants to get close to somebody who's going to do that all the time? They can be intellectually arrogant as a defense to feel better about themselves. They don't think they're smarter, but they're going to pretend they think they're smarter to keep you away. They can be cynical and argumentative and enjoy debunking others' beliefs. So they're the cynical one who are going to tell you how crazy and dumb you are. How could you believe that? Let me tell you what's really true. They often succeed in driving everyone out of their lives and become more fearful and strange in the process. So coping strategies for a five are seeking knowledge to explain life, detaching from feelings, detaching from life, being perceptive, natural Socratic method of questioning to get to the truth. They tend to compartmentalize life to protect their privacy. They want to be self-sufficient in order to limit their dependency on other people. They conserve energy and withdraw, and they minimize physical and emotional needs to preserve their personal autonomy. Anybody think that they know a five? Okay. Things five can do to help themselves grow. I don't think we usually show that one. No, we're not going to show that one. Sorry. We don't have time. A parable for a five. And he said to them, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Think knowledge. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample knowledge, laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have learned, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up knowledge for themselves but are not rich toward God." Luke, healthy maybe? Healthy five? He did a lot of studying, right? He tells us in the beginning of his book that he studied a lot before he wrote down his gospel. So maybe. Maybe St. Thomas, because he doubted, he had to have all the facts. He needed to know more and more and more before he could believe. Let me see it. Let me know it. Yeah. Of course, Jesus was a healthy five. He valued wisdom. He spoke as one with authority. He studied and knew the scriptures. You know, he could quote them all. And he enjoyed time of solitude for prayer. But he certainly didn't isolate. And he certainly didn't hoard the knowledge that he had about God. He shared it, right? Spiritual growth for a five is to focus on the incarnation. God acts in our lives. We need to act too, not just isolate away. Move from thinking to doing and share yourself a little bit at least with people you trust instead of hoarding yourself. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. You are either withholding your love in fear or giving your deepest gifts. You're either withholding your knowledge or giving it, right? And, I don't know if you can see it, it's smaller. At this point, my privacy needs are interfering with my intimacy goals. Mm-hmm. I could sit here all day thinking about my problems. And here might be some fives. Maybe not. We don't know. And a song for a five. Where is it? Where's my song? I love this song for a five. I've got to find it for you. Because you'll say, yep, that's it. I think. And you might know it and be able to sing along. If I can find it. Well, where are you? I hate when Amazon takes a song off of its being available. Do you have that? Do you have that with Amazon? You buy something or you download it and then it's gone. All right. Well, I'm hoping it's going to play right now. All right, now play. Play. Dang it. I Am a Rock is the song. Yes? Yes. Okay. And it's not coming out, so let me do this. A winter's day. I think this was written by a five, for sure. December. Alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, freshly fallen silent shadow snow. I am a rock, I am an island. Yeah, isn't that a five, right? A rock feels no pain. And I have to go or I'll be feeling pain because I'll be late for class. I'll be late for worship. And that would be painful. So I will see you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Don't forget your handouts. Please have signed in.
You better go, Nancy.
I got to go.
I'll let you go. Parade.
I am in the parade. It is a big parade. I got to run because I'm late.
They've already called me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're jumping on it.
Today.
All right. Okay. All right. Keep me posted, okay? Let me know what I need to do. All right. Hello.
Is that a hard kiss?